This Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you and welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, we reflect on last week's State of the Nation address and we look at the Consumer Price Index for January. The economist Valdo Krichol explains the interest cost of public debt. In international business news, India signs a major new trade agreement with the European Union and the United States. In investment news, we talk about challenges businesses face in cross-border payments. And we continue our talk with the Strategic Partnership and Growth Manager Africa and Europe of the company Mineral Technologies, Jolene van Rensburg.
A look now at local business news.
We begin with last week's State of the Nation address. President Ramaphosa says South Africa's economy is showing signs of recovery with four consecutive quarters of GDP growth, two primary budget surpluses, lower inflation and declining interest rates. Investor confidence has improved, supported by stronger credit ratings, a firmer rand and solid performance on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Government plans to accelerate growth through more than 1 trillion rand in infrastructure investment over 3 years, alongside energy sector reform and logistics improvements in rail and ports. We also asked Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis for his reaction.
President Ramaphosa began his 10th State of the Nation address by recalling history and past achievements, setting the scene by appealing to emotionalism and sentiment. He acknowledged problems but neglected to mention that his party was responsible for many of them. The president mentioned the word growth no fewer than 25 times and announced a flurry of measures in what could be seen as a campaign speech for the 2026 local government elections. And on the issue of water, President Ramaphosa said that he was directing the Minister of Water to fix the problem. He also committed 156 billion rand in public funding for water infrastructure over the next 3 years. The rest of the speech continued in a similar vein. The key takeaway is that the government is betting on spending a great deal of money in addition to preferring centralization over devolution to address the country's many problems. From water delivery to crime to firearm ownership, foot and mouth disease and BEE, the assumption is that presidential involvement and national oversight will cure all ills.
And South Africa's annual consumer price inflation eased slightly to 3.5% in January, down from 3.6% in December. Consumer prices increased by 0.2% month on month. The biggest contributors to annual inflation were housing and utilities, food and non-alcoholic beverages, and insurance and financial services. Goods inflation slowed to 2.7% from 3% in December, while services inflation remained unchanged at 4.2%. The latest figures indicate relatively stable price pressures at the start of the year. We now have the President of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Valdo Krichol, on the line with us. Valdo, after the State of the Nation address, South Africans are looking ahead to the national budget. Can you give us insight into the interest cost of public debt?
In 2024-25, South Africa's total national debt was 5.7 trillion rand. The interest cost on the national debt was 386 billion rands per year. That's more than a billion rands per day. Only 80 cents of every rand in tax revenue is available for all other spending. It is therefore a good thing when interest rates on government debt decrease. The rate on a 30-year debt instrument was 12.77% in September 2023, and it has now decreased to 8.68%. Rates on 20-year and 10-year government bonds are also lower. This is especially important because a portion of the issued bonds will mature soon. They must therefore be rolled over by issuing new bonds. Between 2023-24 and 26-27, the average financing need per year was 168 billion rand. Between 2027-28 and 2031-32, this will be 294 billion. It's therefore very important to take on that new debt at lower interest rates. Even better if it can happen at investment-grade credit ratings rather than at junk status. So that is why the minister must continue to cut spending, must work hard to curb the rise of the wage bill, and must use his tax revenue windfall wisely. If he can manage to reduce the interest cost on the national debt now, we win for years to come.
Thanks very much, Professor Valdo Krichol, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichol, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
India has signed major new trade agreements with the European Union and the United States, making a significant shift toward freer trade. The deals bring the country's total number of free trade agreements since 2014 to 10, with talks also set to begin with the Gulf Cooperation Council. Economists say the agreements could boost exports, but warn that complex rules, high logistics costs, and low utilization of trade benefits remain obstacles. Experts say domestic reforms and improved infrastructure will be key to turning trade opportunities into economic growth for India.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
Today we focus on cross-border payments and are now joined by the Chief Commercial Officer of the company Damisa, Thomas Pinter. Thomas, what current challenges do businesses face in cross-border payments, and how does Damisa's infrastructure address issues such as settlement speed, transaction costs and transparency?
I think one of the key challenges we see on the market at the moment is the liquidity per country. So what we do on our platform, we have multiple providers for each market. So this means we have an AI chatbot, if you want to call it that, which goes back to all the providers we are using in the country, checking the day, the rates, the liquidity per day. And then depending on the needs and requirements, we can pull out the money through different partners.
Before we say goodbye, we continue our talk with the Strategic Partnership and Growth Manager, Africa and Europe, for the company Mineral Technologies, Jolene van Rensburg. She talks about the company's contribution in the mining and related sectors. Jolene, your role includes event management to foster impactful partnerships. How do you leverage industry events and platforms to position Mineral Technologies as an innovation leader? And what trends in the market have shaped your approach in recent years?
Events let people experience what MT really brings to the table. I use them to share real results, connect with decision makers, and show how we solve tough problems. I also engage with people at events to show them that we are truly human and not just robots. The trend is very clear. Customers want authenticity and technical depth. They do not just want generic marketing. They want to know that they're dealing with real people, real problems. So I also try and be very unique. I try and think a bit outside the box, do stuff different, get people out of their comfort zones. That's typically what I do.
Mineral Technologies deals with increasingly complex ore deposits and tailings reclamation. How do you help guide the company's response to evolving business challenges and opportunities in these areas, ensuring Mineral Technologies stays competitive and relevant to client needs?
So my job is to feed real client intelligence back into the business, what they need, where they're struggling, and where the next opportunities are. That guides our test work and technology focus so MT stays relevant, innovative and competitive.
And that was the Strategic Partnerships and Growth Manager, Africa and Europe, for the company Mineral Technologies, Jolene van Rensburg. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.